Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Hope you're all doing well. Some strange stuff this morning, and I suppose that's what a news show is all about. Tchouaméni deal could be back on. We'll discuss that straight away. Also, big updates coming out from David Ornstein around Bouadi and Alex Scott. Also, I'm slightly late because somebody sent me something about Kone saying we're not in talks with Kone. I mean, look, I'll cover the story. If you want to believe that, the journalists themselves say they haven't got a very good phone book when it comes to sources. So, you know, ultimately, you know, I can only tell you what I can tell you. But who was it who put the tweet out on Saturday? I mean, look, people are saying, I love the Tielemans deal. It came from nowhere. Only because you don't want to acknowledge who put it out on Sunday night. Like, you know, you either believe it or you don't. Take it or leave it. It's no skin off our nose. But, you know, we have spoken to Kone. You know, simple as that. Also, a few other bits to talk about as well around United's transfer strategy and why we're probably looking at prospects. In short, Chelsea bought Santos for 10 million from wherever they bought him from 3 years ago and have just sold him for 48 million. That is 300-400% profit. I think United want to be about that game as well. I think they really, really do. Also, Tielemans done. We should get official announcement today. It's a 5-year contract for Tielemans. Is that wise? That takes him to 34. Do you need to offer a 5-year contract? Is it a 4+1? Some people moaning about that this morning. I don't know whether it massively matters, but we can talk about that as well. So a few bits to get into on the show this morning. And apparently Man United's midfield shortlist. I want to start off with this Tielemans story because obviously, not Tielemans, Tchouaméni story, because obviously we've been very, very accurate on the Tchouaméni story from the start, you know, and we were the ones who said the deal was off a week before everybody else because we knew it was off. We were the ones who hinted he's going to sign a new contract at Madrid before anyone else, and he did. So it was interesting last night to be sent this after the 8 o'clock show that Andy Mitten had said the deal is still on. I've listened to what Andy Mitten said. And what he said was that they could still sell him. Tchouaméni could still be sold by Real Madrid. That's what he said. He also said, to be fair, Tchouaméni's not the first player to benefit from Man United's interest in getting a new contract. And he also said that his contacts primarily sound like they're Spanish journalists and that Real Madrid want to buy big, so they've got to sell big. So look, I respect Andy Mitten. You know, that's absolutely fine. I'm sure those people he's spoken to in Spain is absolutely true. And I can sort of see a scenario. Personally, I don't think that means that Tchouaméni is coming to Manchester United. Personally, I think that's, you know, a less than 20% chance of that happening. And personally, I think that's like saying, you know, Arsenal could sell as Declan Rice. You know, I don't think it's on. I don't. And I think it sort of steps into what I was talking about last night around there's a big update from David Ornstein about Bouadi and Man City. So you can probably cross that deal off. Scott, as we know, is not for sale. So you can probably cross that deal off. Man United may face a long wait on their next signing, which is probably why you've got people out there doing compilation clips of Belabor. The problem is nobody wants Belabor. No club wants Belabor. Most of our fan base doesn't want Belabor. And most players, you can do at least a 5-minute best bits of a season. People are struggling to compile all his good bits in 60 seconds. So, you know, Belabor talk is desperate because there's no, you know, it looks like we're closing the door on a lot of deals. And he, you know, in my opinion, it'd be a shockingly bad signing. And I think that, Just quickly before I go back to Tchouaméni and Bouadi and Scott, if we sign Belabor, I think it makes it a bad window. I think Santos, Tielemans and Belabor is a bad midfield three. I think Tielemans, Santos and Scott or Kone or someone like that makes it a better midfield three. So look, they'll stand and fall on this one because this is the marquee. This is the big signing. This is the player that's going to cost you somewhere between 60 and 80 million pounds. So this is the big midfielder, the last one. I think we might have to take our time on this. I think the fact that Tchouaméni is being mentioned and Bouadi's going to Man City shows that this last deal is going to be tough. I think this is where Man United are going to struggle, because I think that they've got to make a big signing, and it's got to be a significant signing. And this tends to be where we struggle, because we've got to make a big signing here. It's got to be a significant signing. Santos is a prospect. Tielemans is experience. So you want that big one, really. Do I think Chiellini is a possibility? No. I mean, my information is very good around Chiellini. It's very close to that situation. And he wants to stay at Real Madrid. And Real Madrid want him to stay. And they have given him a very, very good contract. So for me to believe that Real Madrid would now sell him, it would almost be counterproductive. Like, I don't know how it would work. Because if you think about it, yes, I think Real Madrid might need to raise some money to buy somebody. But if you were going to do that, why would you give him a new contract? Because you make him very difficult to sell now. Chiellini is probably worth 60 to 70 million pounds without signing the contract. And he's on 210 grand a week. So United, if Real Madrid want to sell him, United could have gone, there's 70 million pounds for him and there's 250 grand a week. Yeah. If Real Madrid decide they want to sell him now, he's on a longer term contract. So the price probably goes to 80. And he's already on, what, 300 grand a week? So we've got to give him that as well. So the deal becomes very difficult for everybody else. You price everybody else out because of the new contract. So I think this is thin. I think this is really thin that you'd give a player a new contract and then sell him. I don't think this is possible. I don't know. You know, this is sometimes what can happen. People can be talking on a podcast. A player can come up. You can go, I've heard that they might still sell him. And suddenly it's like, oh, we're back in for Chiellini. I wouldn't go down that path. I think there's far better conversations to have about viable options for United. I wouldn't be going down that path. I think it's a silly path to go down. What I will concede is, and I have heard Andy Mitten say this, and he's absolutely correct, if Real Madrid had decided to sell Chiellini, he would have been happy to come to Manchester United. But he's happy at Real Madrid, and they've signed a new contract. So, look, I think it needs discussing, because some people are talking about it being back on. I think in some ways, Andy Mitten's been misquoted, and in other ways, this just won't happen, and we need to move on. I think it'd be perfect for Man United, I really do, but I think we need to move on. The second thing, and I just want to talk about this before Bouwadi as well, is that somebody said that in the same podcast, something else was said by Carl Anker on Manu Kone. I don't have the phone book of Laurie Whitwell and Andy Mitten, but from what I can tell, and when I tried to check on Friday, Manu Kone is not on Manchester United's shortlist. Well, that's absolutely fine. And you can believe that if you want. But I did the video on Saturday, not Friday. And United have held talks with his representatives. And that is still an ongoing topic. So let's see what happens with that. But as I said, Tielemans on Friday night before anybody else. Same source. So I think I know who I'd believe. I'm not saying we're going to sign Manu Kone. I've always said with Manu Kone, there is a little bit of reluctance from Manchester United. They seem to want prospect as the next signing more than established. And there's nothing you can do about that. But definitely held talks with Manu Kone as we did last summer. So look, I think he's the right player to go for. We can't get Chiellini. Who's the player who plays instead of Chiellini for France? It's Kone. We do need that type of a player. He's better than anybody else that we're talking about in relation to that actual position. Whether it comes to a full deal or not, we'll have to wait and see. But we have held talks with him. And I also think as well, and I'm not here to teach people how to do their job, but Man United are not giving information out. They're not giving information out. So if you're phoning up Man United and you're asking them, are you in for Manu Kone? They're not going to tell you anyway. Maybe they would have done last summer, but they're not going to tell you. If you want to get information, you've got to go away from Man United and you've got to find people that you can trust, because that's difficult as well. Agents will tell you, yeah, they're in talks with my client, and they're not, because they just want you to talk about their client. I had that last season with a certain Liverpool right back who representatives of his really wanted us to talk about Frimpong to Manchester United. Before he signed for Liverpool. Now, I don't know whether Man United ever had any talks with him, and we didn't really talk about it a massive amount. But, you know, I ain't got a problem with that. Sometimes agents and representatives want you to talk about their player and Manchester United. But, yeah, look, I think with United, the reason a lot of their journalists aren't very happy is because United aren't giving them anything. And if you want any evidence of that, look at what happened with Ederson. You know, we had Man United journalists on Friday night saying the deal's still on. Romano said it's off. And Romano went to Atalanta. And that's where he got his information from. If he'd have been waiting on Man United, he'd still be waiting now. You've got to go and get the information from elsewhere. And you've got to know that you can trust it and you're not being manipulated. So I'm not really bothered about United journalists saying this isn't happening or that's not happening or the deal's still on. I think United have shut down those bits of information now, and you've got to get it from elsewhere. So look, Tchouaméni won't happen. Kone can still happen. That's where we are with those two. Let's talk about David Ornstein's update, because I think this was quite an interesting one as well. Remember, we were talking last night about potential midfielders that Manchester United could sign, and Bouwadi was mentioned as a potential for United as well. Well, this is the update from Fabrizio Romano this morning, and what he's basically saying is that Manchester City are now moving on Bouwadi and are confident that they can get a deal done. Obviously, you know, price is going to be very interesting as to how they, you know, want to construct a deal. I think that closes the door on Manchester United, if I'm being honest, when it comes to Bouwadi. I think that's it. I've always felt that if we want to sign Bouwadi, then, you know, a lot of things need to fall our way. There is mention of Arsenal, there is mention of Manchester United, there is mention of other clubs, but, you know, I absolutely agree with you, by the way, official AG Ginge. I was literally having this thought this morning. Have we all forgotten about this court case with the Premier League again? Because I was sort of expecting the answer to this maybe 18 months ago, maybe last summer transfer window. At the start of this summer transfer window, they were saying it's imminent. Then we were hearing it'll happen during the World Cup. Then we were hearing it's going to happen after the World Cup. I mean, bloody hell. I just don't know. It's just, you know, Pep's gone, a new manager comes in, and they're still spending hundreds of millions of pounds, aren't they? So, I mean, I just think these 115 charges are a bit like the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, do they even actually exist? I think it might actually just be a story that people tell each other about, you know. It's a bit like Man United, the Glazers selling, isn't it? You know, it just doesn't seem to happen. But I think if David Ornstein is doing a story about Bouwadi and Manchester City, then I think that's the end of the road for us. And that's what I mean. I think, like, we've done well with Tielemans. Some people think we've done well with Santos. Let's wait and see. But now we need the third midfielder. I think this is where we struggle, because we couldn't get Tonali. We couldn't get Anderson. We couldn't get Mateus Fernandez, we couldn't get Tchouaméni. And I think this signing is that signing. We haven't done that signing yet. You know, the Anderson, the Fernandez, the Tonali, the Tchouaméni, we haven't done that signing. Tielemans is not that player, and neither is Santos. I think Tielemans is number two. I think Santos is now number three. We still need that marquee signing. And I think this is the one that we struggle with, because the competition is high and so is the price. And I think we do like Bouwadi, but when David Ornstein is saying that Man City are pushing hard for him, and it, you know, there is a feeling that Lille would like a loan, but Man City want to bring him in now, and the price is going to be around 100 million euros. We're not paying 100 million euros for anybody. We wouldn't pay 100 million euros for Elliot Anderson or Tonali or Tchouaméni. So we're not going to do it for an 18-year-old from Lille. So we're out. We're out. Bouwadi's gone, and he's going to go to Man City. So I think we need to be realistic to that and start to think, well, you know, where else are we going to go? Now, in The Athletic, it does say that they've got a short list of Alex Scott, Enmecha, Baleba, Sander Berg are among the names that Man United have considered while surveying the midfield market. Enmecha's too expensive. Berg would be laughable. I mean, Sander Berg, Tielemans and Santos would be laughable. We'd literally be Everton. Baleba is laughable because he's been shit for a year and nobody else wants him. So why are we after him? And Alex Scott, to me, would be very, very good. But the constant update around Alex Scott is it's £80 million and he's not for sale anyway. So I think that, I said this last night. I feel like when it comes to the final midfielder, I think United will take their time on this one. I think we will. I think we'll be forced to take our time on this one. I can't see us doing anything particularly quick. I'd love us to do something quick, but I think the fact that some of our targets are still playing in the World Cup, the fact that some of our targets are very, very difficult to get, I can see this rumbling on for a few weeks. And look, I don't want to throw it out there, and I think this is a minority chance, a slim chance of this happening, but Romano has always said, as has other journalists, that United would like another third midfielder, and it's highly likely we will sign another third midfielder. But there is a world where we don't buy another midfielder. And I know that's terrifying, but it is Manchester United. It is the Glazers. Like, there is a world where we don't buy another midfielder. Now, I absolutely do think we will. But in the interest of fairness and equality and, you know, pragmatism, what if we don't sign another midfielder? What if, I read something this morning in the Manchester Evening News that Toby Collier's future will be decided in the next few weeks, dependent on what Man United decide to do with the midfield. What if Toby Collier has a, you know, pre-season purlough? And United go, we don't need one. What if Mason Mount plays in the midfield and has a pre-season purlough and we don't want one? I mean, these are scary outcomes that could happen. Maybe Collier, Mount, maybe they go, look, we've got Mainoo, we've got Santos, we've got Tielemans, we've got Ugarte coming back at Christmas, we've got Mason Mount who can play there, and we've got Toby Collier. We've got six options for two players. You just don't know whether Man United might do that and think, let's pocket... I mean, I wish I'd never said it publicly. They might not have figured that one out, but they could do that. They could just go, well, we've got six if we use Mount there. We don't need another midfielder. I think we will get one, but you just don't know. Toby Collier is 22. He's probably the same age as Santos. You know, as a backup midfielder, they might just go, well, we'll keep Collier. We've got Mainoo, Tielemans and Santos as the starters. We could use Collier. Ugarte will be back at some point. We've got Mount. They might just do that. I'll tell you what, if they do that, whether I like Tielemans or not, you're not getting higher than a 3 out of 10 for transfer window. If you only buy two fucking midfielders and it's Tielemans and Santos, you can do one. That's absolutely shit. We have to buy another midfielder. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if we take our time on this next midfielder. And, you know, if you take your time, sometimes you can run out of time. But as I said, I think it's going to be challenging. I think it will be challenging because we're not going to get Boadi. I think Scott might be a bit of a pipe dream. And Mitra's too expensive. Baleba would be a disaster in my opinion, but some people like it. But at the very least, half the fan base won't. Well, it's not even half. I think 70% of the fan base don't want Baleba either. So I think it would be an unpopular signing and an expensive unpopular signing. As I said, Kone talks have taken place. Whether we follow that through, we'll have to wait and see. Some people think we might be talking to João Gomes. I don't know about that. There's plenty of options out there, but they have to land correctly on this third player, and they have to get it right. They do. They have to get it right. And of course, on top of that, we still have nothing on a left back. Absolutely nothing on a left back. However, what they did say about a left winger was that United may. This was in The Athletic this morning. United may still seek to strengthen the left hand side of their attack, with Somerville still a leading target, and exploratory talks have previously been held with West Ham. However, any move for a left winger may hinge on the future of Rashford, who's not going to return for pre-season until after England's World Cup involvement and his summer break. So his reintegration into training after not going to Barcelona will have an impact on that as well. So I think there might be a period now with United where there's a lot of talk and no action for quite a while, because we can't do anything on the left wing until Rashford comes back, which is going to be basically a month. Left back's very, very quiet. And as I said, on the midfield, whilst there are a lot of options, I think that's very scattergun, by the way. I think when The Athletic are saying Alex Scott and Mitra, Baleba, Sander Berge are among the names that United have considered, I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's accurate. I think, and you could throw four names as well. I genuinely don't think, I mean, you know what? Sometimes you've got to call it out.
Man United need to buy one more midfielder, right? We bought Santos and we bought Tielemans. At what level are Sanderberg and Mecha, Scott and Belabor the same?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You'd never have those four players as your final midfielder because they're different. You know, they're different in age, they're different in wage, they're different in price, they're different in ability. So I do think we're probably in a world where not a lot of people know what's going on. And that's been proven throughout the summer. Not a lot of people know what's going on. You know, a lot of people said stuff about Matheus Fernandes, they were proved wrong. A lot of people are going, well, I'm not hearing this, but that doesn't mean things aren't going on. I don't think Sanderberg, Alex Scott, Belabor and Mecha are the shortlist at all. I don't think they are. I don't think the Labour's in there. I don't think Sanderberg's in there. I don't think Enmecha's in there. As much as I would love him to be in there, I don't think he is, because I think that one got killed off a couple of weeks ago because of how much money Dortmund want. Now, later in the market, he might come into it. I'd love Enmecha, by the way. I know it's a little bit niche, but I would love Enmecha. I think the height, the physicality, the ability on the ball, the age profile, I think Enmecha would be absolutely perfect for us as our third midfielder. It's just whether you can get the price down. And also, remember, the market dictates the price. Later on in the window, then there might be something we can do with him. Because, look, if Liverpool go for him, which they might do, or Chelsea go for him, which they might do, or Arsenal go for him, which they might do, then, you know, it becomes very, very difficult. But, you know, Newcastle have been looking at Enmecha. And Dortmund are therefore looking at like a price of around 100 million. But as we know, no one wants to go to Newcastle. He has got a long time left on his contract. His contract's not up until 2030, which makes it, you know, problematic. But 25 years of age, good midfielder. But that price would have to come down. And at the moment, I don't think it is. Look, Sanderberg is not in the same level as a Scott or a Enmecha. And even Belabor and Berg are very, very different. So I don't think it's those four. As I said to you last night, I think Kone, Scott, Bawadi up until this morning, I think it's around those three. That's where I think it is. Yeah. Still has been linked to Newcastle, PJ. So no, nothing on him at the moment. IDF, thank you very much. Sorry. Whoa. Get rid of you. Sorry about that. I was just reading something before I looked at it. You're gone. Jason says, what I'd give to be back when Sir Alex Ferguson and David Gill were handling business. On that, I wonder how much the current fan base are aware of those days, says Jason. Look, I saw something that went a little bit viral last night, and it was a Spurs fan saying, I'm so glad that we're not having summers like Man United anymore. There was a time when there was a time when Spurs were signing people like Tielemans and Santos and hoping it was going to work. And I'm very glad that Spurs are now signing top quality players like Matheus Fernandes and Tonali. Quite a few United fans bit on this. I'll be absolutely honest here. You're an accountant if you'd rather have Tielemans and Santos over Fernandes and Tonali. You can't argue with it. I'm not here to slate Santos and Tielemans, but there were United fans saying they were happier with Tielemans and Santos because they were cheaper. And I was like, hold on a minute, this is football. It's meant to be about enjoyment. It's meant to be about being the best. I would take Tonali and Matheus Fernandes any day of the week, regardless of them being £100 million more. You know, I think that is a failure on the club's ambition. You can argue about whether you want to pay it or not, but why are football fans accountants?
Surely it's about enjoyment. Tonali and Matheus Fernandes are better players than Santos and Tielemans. They are. However, it doesn't mean Spurs are going to be better than Man United because Spurs don't have Bruno Fernandes. Spurs don't have Kobbie Mainoo. Spurs don't have Harry Maguire. Spurs don't have a good goalkeeper. So, you know, Spurs have bought well, but they finished fourth from bottom. We finished third. So Tielemans and Santos can still work for us. Of course, I'd rather have Fernandes and Tonali, but I don't think Tielemans is a bad signing. Do I think the club have been as ambitious as they could have been? Of course I don't. I mean, look, Arsenal won the league and they might be getting Bruno Guimaraes. He's better than any midfielder we've bought. Spurs finished fourth from bottom and they've just gone and spent, you know, close to £200 million on two very good midfielders. Man City finished second, one ahead of us. They bought Elliot Anderson and they're going to get Boadi. So there's a lot of clubs around us buying better than us. It's going to be difficult for us to hold our place. But I am happy with Tielemans. I am happy with the experience. But look, I'm not going to sit here and say I wouldn't rather have Boadi and Anderson. I'm not going to sit here and say I wouldn't rather have Fernandes and Tonali. But that's not Tielemans and Santos's fault. That's not your fault. That's the club's fault for the way they're run. You know, we could have had a better summer. Of course we could have done. Absolutely. But, you know, we've got to go with what we've got. I see similar to Garner coming and a fullback and hopefully an experienced striker. I don't see a winger coming in. They will use the World Cup as an excuse, says Ryan. Does Tielemans mean that we could get Ryerson or Robinson? I think this could be the greatest day of our lives. No, I think this could be the comment of the day. And I think you've done comment of the day before JSD plays. I think this is a bloody cracker. I think this is an absolute cracker. So does Tielemans mean we could sign Ryerson or Robinson? Because we've always been told that United have this strict under 26 policy. And now, we don't. So could we now go and buy Robinson at left back? Could we now go and buy Ryerson at right back? I would have always said no. But what I do absolutely say now is that, you know, we could go and get that sort of player. I don't know whether we will. It might just be a one-off, but it could mean that Ryerson or Robinson are on the agenda now. Obviously, Anthony Robinson at Fulham, left back, one of the best attacking left backs in the Premier League. He puts in like four or five crosses per 90 compared to Luke Shaw's one. So the improvement would be massive. And I do like Anthony Robinson. Ryerson, one of the most creative right backs in world football. Obviously had a very good, he didn't have a great World Cup because he got injured a couple of times. But, you know, a very good right back. I don't know. We'd have to wait and see. Gavin says, it's scary how many fans on socials and even on Man United YouTube channel think signing Belabor would transform our midfield to out of the three a high risk. Yeah, I don't know what it is, Gavin. I don't know whether it's propaganda. I don't know whether they're being paid. You know, sometimes if you, as a content creator, you can get contacted by, you know, a brand and they'll say, if you talk about our brand, we'll give you some money. It almost feels a little bit like that with Belabor because no one wants him. He's had a shit season and suddenly over the last few days, there's a load of people going, I think he's perfect. Which flies in the face of logic. He's not perfect. He's had a shit season. He's been benched by James Milner. He's been subbed off loads of times. He didn't start a lot of games and people want him to be a marquee signing. It's very strange, but they're wrong. They're very, very wrong. I don't know whether it's people trying to be niche or clever or what, but they're very, very wrong. Look, maybe in a year's time he'll get back to what he was, but I wouldn't sign anybody based on that season. I don't care who you are. It was an abysmal season in the spotlight. At the very least, he's shown he's a bottler mentally, that he can't deal with the pressure. Everybody knew we tried to buy him last summer, and this season should have been the season where he proved everybody wrong. He didn't. Scott or Bruno G are the only option left for me, says Jack. Scott or Bruno G are the only option left for me. Well, I don't think we'll get Bruno G, Jack. I'd love to go for Bruno G, but I don't think we will. I don't think we'd sign two 28-year-olds, or I know Tielemans is 29. Scott, I would like Scott. I think United would like Scott, but the price, is always going to be a problem. Based on what our spendings have been so far, should that give us an estimate for how much we can spend on the marquee signings, says Jack? Well, we've spent about 70, 85, 83 million, I think we spent, to be precise. So that gives us about 65 if we want to stay under the 150 mark. Yeah. Storm Dogs, thanks for your super chat. Martinez to Atletico Madrid. Where is this coming from, Dan? Where is this Martinez to Atletico Madrid stuff coming from? Because I tell you what, if Man United consider selling Lisandro Martinez to anybody, they're bloody idiots. Like, to me, he has been the best centre-back in the World Cup. Offensively, defensively, I think he's been absolutely on point. He's playing a game every 3 or 4 days, so you can't moan about his fitness. Argentina have been to extra time twice, you know. Are you seriously telling me there's people at Man United or in our fan base that think it's a good idea to sell Lisandro Martinez when he's playing how he is and he's proving his fitness how he is, but we keep Harry Maguire for another year? I mean, this would be Everton. This would be like selling your best centre-back to make money. This is the sort of thing that worries me about the club's mentality, because there are things that we do that clearly save money. And this would be a clear indicator that we're a selling club. So, no, absolutely not. I mean, no, just on no level would you sell Martinez. He's not too old. He's not playing badly. He's not got an injury problem. And the fact that Atletico Madrid would want him, you know, I saw something the other day that you can't even find the source. It's just people putting the tweet out. Man United have turned down offers of interest from numerous clubs about Mason Mount. Are we bollocks? Oh my God. As if. Who are these clubs as well? You know, is it charity summer games or something? Will Mason Mount play in this charity game for, you know, Goldbridge FC or something like that? There's no genuine football club knocking on the door about Mason Mount. You know, that's just complete and utter. It's nonsense. But this, you know, Lisandro Martinez would genuinely have genuine clubs looking at him. You know, if we put him up for sale, I wouldn't be surprised if Barcelona wanted him. You know, we shouldn't be going anywhere near selling Lisandro Martinez. And also, he's the only... We don't play a back three anymore. We play a back four. And in a back four, you do need a defender that can bring the ball out from the back. He's the only one that can bring the ball out of the ball out from the back properly. I mean, he's our starting centre-back. Carrick used him at the end of the season as well, so Carrick does like him. Yeah, we can't let Martinez go. If we sold Martinez, that would be an admission that we're a small club, because you're selling one of your better players. And you know what? That's what Everton do. That's what Bournemouth do. That's what Brighton do. They accept that they have to sell their better players to survive. You can't behave like that. If we sell Martinez, it's like Arsenal selling Gabriel. It's like Man City selling Vardiel. You can't sell that type of player. Off-piste a little bit, but it is a rumour I've seen. I don't know where the rumours come from, by the way. I've just seen a lot of people talking about it. I mean, it could be the biggest load of crap source in the world. I've not seen it. Interesting that Vieira prefers Kone over Tchouaméni, says Crystal. I think Kone is an incredibly clever signing, whoever does it. He will leave Roma this summer. And... you know, he could end up at Chelsea. He could end up at Newcastle. He could end up in the Bundesliga. He could end up in La Liga. But he's an incredibly clever signing for whoever goes for him. And we'll tell you who does. What other midfielder can we go for? So structural. I mean, I think there's plenty out there. But for me, I think it's got to be Kone, Scott now. I think it's got to be one of those two. It's got to be one of those two. Personally, I like the Tillemans deal, experienced and classy, but Baleba, I believe, is driven by Brighton as they can see 80 million drifting away, says Martin Saunders. Irish Ghost says, I'd love Tchouaméni, but we will not get him because both Tillemans and Tchouaméni both bench Maynou, and I don't see Carrick benching him, says Irish Ghost. Hi, Mark. So, Stephen. Well, what I would say to you, Irish Ghost, is I do think Tielemans and Maynou as a midfield two is very, very similar. There's not a lot of defensive cover there and there's not a lot of pace there at all. So I'd be very surprised if we started the season with Maynou and Tielemans together. Although we are playing a couple of crap teams at the start, so maybe we will. But there's not a lot of pace there between Maynou and Tielemans. Hi, Mark. Hope you and your family are well. What's your opinion on Tielemans? Do you think he will succeed? So, Stephen. Yeah, I mean, I think he comes into the team and hits the ground running. I think he's a ready-to-go player. He's got a lot of experience. I'm happy with the deal, and I think it makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things that intrigue me about it. For example, like how does he fit into the midfield? Like I was just talking about there. But look, I mean, obviously I'd have rather bought Tchouaméni or Tonali or Bruno G or Anderson. But when United dropped the ball on all four of those, I think for an option E, A, B, C, D, E, for an option E, you know, when United are buying option E, you're starting to think, oh my God, this is going to be a right bag of shit. I think for an option E, it's about as good as it gets. I think it is about as good as it gets. One thing I did want to talk about, though, was the length of contract. Some people have been moaning about this because Fabrizio put it out that the contract for Tielemans is 5 years. 5 years. Youri Tielemans has completed his medical and signs today at Man United. I understand the agreement will be valid until June 31, which is 5 years. I mean, it could be 4+1. But obviously he's 29, so that contract doesn't run out till he's 34. So some people have said, well, hold on a minute. He might be good for 2-3 years, but what about when he's, you know, year 4 and 5 of his contract and he's pushing a Zimmer frame around because he's you know, he falls off a cliff. I don't know. I think for £35 million, if you can get 3 years out of him, you've done the job anyway. I guarantee his wages are quite low. Look, there's in many ways, we're showing a lot of trust. We're showing a lot of faith in Tielemans, aren't we? And we're clearly going to be his last club. So I don't know. I don't know. Look, I think sometimes we do get a little bit hung up on contracts. I mean, we gave Harry Maguire a 6-year deal. When we bought him for £80 million, didn't we? So we aren't opposed to giving out long deals. I mean, I suppose what I would say is, what are we saying? We should give him a 3-year deal. The trouble with a 3-year deal is, in 2 years' time, when he's 31, if he's doing well, he's got another deal. He's got another move in him, hasn't he? I suppose in this deal, you're locking him in. You're locking him in for the rest of his career. Whereas at 31, if he's doing really well, you've got to give him another contract. So in some ways, I can sort of see why we've done it. 3-year deal, he could still be really good in his early 30s and say, I want another contract and I want a pay rise. Might be quite clever by United, actually, to lock him in on a deal for 5 years because he can't get a wage increase then. No matter how well he does, he can't get a pay rise. So it might not be as bad as people think. I know it's a long contract for a 29-year-old, but the way the modern game's going, you can still be a top player at 32. Give him a 3-year deal. He's out of contract. He's heading off somewhere else on a free. Or he's going, I want a massive wage to stay. And you put yourself in a problem there because you've got a 32-year-old saying, I want £200,000 a week. I think with a 5-year deal, he's locked in. So I financially, it's probably better that he's on a 5-year deal when you think about it. And I know, I understand people saying, well, he'd be 34 and he could fall off a cliff and he could be a flop. But I think financially, it might actually work out better. There's no prospect of him leaving on a free until he's 34. And there's no prospect of him getting an increased wage or deal either. So I think it probably makes a lot of sense. But I can see why people are going, well, he'll be 34. But as I said, you know, think about Modric. If we'd given Modric a 3-year deal at 29, at 32, it's still got 3 years at Real Madrid. So, you know, I think it probably is a 4+1. And I think it probably makes a bit of sense.
Bruno and the front three next season or top of a diamond? Oh, God. I wondered when we were going to start having these chats. We've got nearly 15,000 people watching this morning. Make sure you're sharing the video. Make sure you've subscribed if you're new, because we could be going live at any time, as we've seen in the last 24 hours. Make sure you smash a like on the video. Big shout out to our members in the chat as well, like John United, Laura Baxter, Daniel Thompson. Some very exciting stuff coming up on the members section in the new season, and some very exciting stuff coming up on the channel in the new season as well. As you know, we did link up with The Overlap back in April, and whilst I said it would be business as normal, and it has been business as normal, the new season will slightly change a little bit. We'll still have the core, we'll still have the shows, we'll still have the watch-alongs, we'll still have the previews, we'll still have the match reactions, but we're going to have some new stuff coming in as well. And everyone will benefit, but members will get little bits of extra as well. Which reminds me, that's football. Talking about transfer windows. Get out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The person we've signed up this week, I mean, we can't announce it for a little bit, but oh my God. I mean, if Man United had the recruitment team we've got, I mean, we would be signing Yamal equivalents. We would be. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredibly exciting, the stuff and people that are going to be involved. Do you think you'll get an interview with Roy Keane? I would always say yes, because it's all part of the same thing. No, it's way better than Micah Richards, mate. I'd say Micah Richards is a bit like Santos. You know, we're talking to people and signing people on the level of Bellingham. You know, that in that world. I'd love to get an interview with Roy Keane. I don't know, just because. Well, I mean, look, you never know. You never know. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. Are you worried about the lack of pace in the midfield, says Jay Shaw? Look, I mean, these are the great conversations we're going to have the closer we get to the start of the season. But like, I don't look at stats, really. I don't look at stats. I think if you look at stats, Santos is better than Tielemans. And that's just not true, is it? You know, you can say Santos is better than Mateus Fernandes if it makes you sleep better, but Santos is not better than Tielemans. But if you look at the stats, Santos is better than Tielemans on many, many levels. But then look at the minutes that Santos played last season, and he's playing mainly against chances, like, whereas Tielemans will be playing for Villa against decent sides for 90 minutes. Santos, to me, is a prospect. There's a little bit less pressure on him. Tielemans comes in as a starter. There's pressure on him. These are the sort of players that we needed. I'll say again that there is definitely a lack of pace with Tielemans. Of course, there is. And there is a lack of pace with Maynou. Of course, there is. So how do Maynou and Tielemans play together in a midfield two with Bruno, who also lacks pace, against, you know, some of the more powerful midfields? I mean, how are they going to play against Arsenal? How are they going to play against Liverpool? How are they going to play against, you know, I know Newcastle's midfield is decimated now, but the traditional Joel Linton, Bruno G and Tonali, very energetic, very powerful. How would Tielemans and Maynou deal with that? They're not the tallest either. So I think we do need some power and pace in that midfield, which is why I think Kone is perfect. But I'm interested to see how Tielemans and Maynou work together, because we're meant to be building the midfield around Maynou, and Tielemans is not coming here to be a bench player. So, you know, maybe Maynou's got a bit of competition. That's not a bad idea either, is it? Mazraoui's our left back next season, says Miracle. Well, why wasn't he our left back last season? You know, I agree with you, but why was he not used last year when he was fit? Will Rashford sign extension on less wages, says Robert McCormack? Depends how happy he is. I mean, he's got 2 years left on his contract. He won't be signing an extension anytime soon. If Tielemans don't work, we can send him to Saudi, says Bale Wall Justice. Well, let's give him a chance first.
Bruno and the front three next season, or top Bruno and Geordie, I don't know what this was about. Bruno and N3 front three next season, or top of a diamond. Why would we play a diamond next season? What people always do this every summer. We're changing position to a we're changing position to a diamond, and we never do. We might play it in pre-season, but we never do. I think Bruno has to play as a number 10. And you know, I think it'll be a back four, same as it was last year. Might tweak the way we play, but yeah. Romano says Man United want to sign one more midfielder.
Not over yet. I mean, he literally said that yesterday. Yeah,
I'm okay. Not really much to say about that. I think Tielemans is more of a backup for Bruno, says Tillock. I don't think you know Tielemans' position then, mate, because he's not really a 10. If Belaba was 30 million, would you take him, says Keel? No. No. And you know why I wouldn't sign him for 30 million? Because he's shit. No. I wouldn't sign him for 30 million because that's not what we're looking for now. Why would you buy a player for £30 million? Why would you buy a player for £40 million? The balance of the midfield only works if the final signing is a significant signing. You can't buy João Gomes now when you bought Tielemans and Santos. You can't buy three players for £40 million. Like, all right, Santos was 48 and Tielemans was 35, but put that together and you're not far off £40 million each. I think that the next midfielder has to be the marquee signing, the bigger signing. So I wouldn't be happy with signing any player for 30 or 40 million pounds. This player needs to be the shirt seller, I suppose. When can we see Tielemans in a United shirt, says Stig? Well, apparently he's got a bit of an injury at the moment. He missed the Belgium-Spain quarterfinal, didn't he, with a knock. So one, he's got a bit of a knock, and two, he's got to go on holiday for 3 weeks. So I suppose the first thing with Tielemans is seeing when he comes back in early August how fit he is. Yeah. Mezraoui can start as our left back next season, says Miracle. Mehdi says Marquee is Thuram, earning 70k a week at Juventus. Ineos connection, connect the dots, Mark. Juve value 45, and is in Europa League. Not heard anything about him at all, mate. Not heard anything about him. Spurs will have a lot of players that finish 16th, and those signings will have to settle at Spurs. Tonali's a very good player, and Fernandez is very talented and still very unproven. Thank you very much, Emily. Belaba reminds me of Kanu. Incoherent movement, but offers strength, height, and power. Something we're generally lacking, but he's very high risk. Patrick Lynch, for those happy with a wage structure, what's the purpose of it? We don't reinvest the savings in the squad. Owners don't have an history of it. Sustainability, we would have that without the debt anyway. Very good points, Patrick. I don't understand the point of a... Look, people telling me to check Fabrizio Romano's tweet. I literally just went to it. If you listened, you're just disrupting the flow of an amazing show. I literally went to it, like, 5 minutes ago, and it's still the same tweet. Man United looking for one more midfielder. We spoke about it last night at 8 o'clock. He literally said it like yesterday. He's just done a video on what he said. Man United want one more midfielder. Oh, fucking hell. Let's stop the stream and go live again. Fabrizio's repeated something from last night. We might sign, we want to sign another midfielder. Wow. You don't have to knock one out to every Romano tweet, you know. He does tend to repeat the same thing again because he has to do loads and loads of content. Like, he's not said we're signing Kone, has he? He's not said we're signing Tchouaméni. It's literally the same thing he said last night in a video. Morning, Mark. Hope you and the family well done that one. Thank you very much, Stephen. Egg Spur says, bit off the midfield topic, but I believe Cunha could be a good, reliable winger with an overlapping left back that allowed him space to get cut into the centre. What do you think? Are you from the year 2025, or did you not watch football from January to May? Because breaking news, Cunha's been playing on the left wing since January.
And he can do a job out there, you're right. But he has already been doing it for 6 months. Do you think Tielemans will succeed at United to Steven? I mean, if you want me to guess, yes. Bouwadi for 100 million is laughable. Man City wants him, says Unseen. Yeah, but Man City don't care. Man City don't care, do they? They don't care. Any truth that we might be selling Martinez? I know nothing about this, but I will lose my shit if we do. I think if Rashford stays, he runs his contract and won't sign. Runs down his contract and won't sign. I think if he does that, Robert, it makes him even more unattractive to those fans that don't want him back. I mean, if he comes back and just runs his contract down, it's not going to make him, you know, appealing, is it? So my personal feeling about Rashford is that this is just Sancho all over again. Remember that summer where Sancho had fallen out with Ten Hag, refused to train, whatever, did the tweet. He came back for pre-season. They put a smile on. They did a few interviews. He played a few pre-season games. Everything's fine. And then he went. And I think that might be what... It's about getting the best out of best situation for everybody. Where he goes, I don't know. Marlowe says, Carrick promises another style of football in the long run. How do the signings so far help him achieve that? Well, I think Santos has a very good passes per 90 stats, and Tielemans is definitely a possession-based midfielder. So straight away, it looks like we want more controlled possession in the midfield. If you look at last season, we averaged about 48% possession in the Premier League, which is not very good. So I would instantly say that Tielemans and Santos should give us more control of the ball. Now, why would you want more control of the ball when you're a counter-attacking team? Well, you wouldn't. But I think that is a natural hint straight away that if we want more of the ball, maybe we are going to move away from being a counter-attacking team, which I would, you know, I would praise that. So there is potentially, Marlo, a hint that we're going to become more of a possession-based team, which I think is a positive. I had a dream, says Stig Olsen. I had a dream last night that Rashford is staying and having a 30-plus goal season, and I don't even want him here. That was weird.
Yeah, I mean, Stig, if you were...
Yeah, I mean, look, we all have dreams, don't you? I mean, I could tell you about my dream last night. It's definitely not going to happen. Buy Manchester United, the club, says AU. I've got a new left back and right back instead of a third midfielder. If United got a new left back and a new right back instead of a third midfielder, would you accept that? No. No, Dino. The midfield has to be done properly this summer. Mohack says, I think we use Cunha on the left wing against low blocks, Dorgo overlaps, Rashford against more open teams when we can counter with the pace. Yeah, I don't think Marcus Rashford is going to be happy being a bench player, mate. Do we prioritise other areas now? Because I don't think Sesko alone is enough. Still need a good left back, and I hate the fact that we only got AFCON players on the right wing. Well, there is no AFCON, so we don't need to worry about that, Seth. I wouldn't mind us not buying the midfielder next. We can still buy this third midfielder in August, but what would be good is if we moved on left back, like you say. That would be of interest to me, certainly. But what I expect to happen next is that Tielemans will be announced officially, as was Santos yesterday. And maybe over the next few days, we'll start to get a little bit of clarity on who is going to be the next signing. Because I do think that there is a little bit of uncertainty around that. But look... As well, like, you know, you've got to get fed a lot of information, you get fed a lot of shit. As I said, I know we've held talks with Kone. I knew about Tielemans on Sunday. I know Tchouaméni's not coming to Man United. I know Scott's a very difficult deal to do. It looks like Bouwadi's going to Man City. So It's tough to predict what we're going to do next in the midfield, but I'm sure we have to buy another midfielder. And for me as well, look, I think that shelving unit behind me is very useful because we needed a tier 3, a tier 2, and a tier 1 midfielder. I'd put Santos in three now, which I'm happier with, whereas last week I thought he might be the tier two. I'd say Santos is the tier three. I'd say Tielemans is the tier two. So the next one's got to be tier one. If we buy another tier three, that's not great. So this next signing, to make this summer better, has to be a tier one. Therefore, you are looking at, in my opinion, Scott. That's what you're looking at. You could get by with another tier two, which would be Kone, but you can't go for a tier three. You can't. United reported to have offered Martinez to Atletico Madrid. That's from Spanish outlets, as Dan. Well, if we have, then I would ask Jason Wilcox to tender his resignation with Omar Berardo straight away, with immediate effect. That would be absolutely disgusting. Apparently, Romano has said that the Edison deal is completely off. Mate, the Edison deal was always off. It's just a lot of the British journalists haven't got a bloody clue what we're doing because the club aren't feeding them. So they have to listen to it. You know when you're a client journalist, you are only as good as the client's information. And when the client's saying the Edison's deal is still on, and you type an article saying the Edison deal is still on, you know those people don't have any information. They're just being fed by the club because the Edison deal's off. And it has been off for nearly a week now. But even yesterday morning, the Manchester Evening News was typing out, we understand that the deal is still on. But it's not still on, is it? But you're only as good as your information. And a lot of the people get the information from the club. And the club obviously aren't giving out good information at the moment. To their benefit, really. Otherwise, you know, people would have got wind of that Tielemans deal. What's going on with Stiller, says Harvey? The Athletic today was reporting that he's on the list for Newcastle, but he's not on our list, from what I've heard. No. I like Enmecha, Coleman. I do like Enmecha, but I think he's out of our price range at the moment. We need to do something with the defence. I don't think we'll do anything with the defence this summer. Does being a more possession-based team fit with Bruno, says Marlow? Well, I mean, look, we could be slightly more possession. It doesn't mean we're going to be... I mean, look, we could go from averaging 48% possession to 52% possession. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to go up to 70 and be, you know, tiki-taka, but no, Bruno still needs to thrive in a team that moves the ball quickly. We saw that with Portugal in the summer, didn't he? I mean, Bruno struggled massively in a team that's trying to keep slow possession and work chances for Ronaldo. He really struggled. Bruno needs pace in the attack. Bruno needs space in the counter-attack. That's where he's at his best. I'd expect Santos to have a good passes per 90 when he's playing against Wrexham in the Cup, says Chief Will. Well, look, this is where stats are very, very deceptive. Maz Rabawawi says, did you dream last night involved Margot Robbie? No, actually. I wouldn't admit it if it did. Just a reminder, tonight we are live at 7 o'clock. My show at 8 o'clock is at 7 o'clock because tonight and tomorrow night, both 7 o'clock shows because it's World Cup semi-final night. So live at 8 o'clock on That's Football for Spain against France. Okay, what a great show this morning. Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Nearly 15,000 watching the entire show. Make sure you're subscribing. This is the place to be. We're getting some good information in. Let me just double check if I've had anything in while I'm live, because I didn't do this yesterday and it was problematic. No. Okay. Nice big yawn at the end of the show. Speak to you all later. Have a great day. I'll speak to you all in a bit.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.